Breaking news. Breaking news. On this episode, we cover what's going on in South Carolina. The Murdaugh family, it seems like they're up to no good, specifically the father. However, when we recorded this episode, the breaking news had not yet come out. So we have a small update before we start the show.
How often does this happen to us?
Every week, but in this case...
this time, we caught it just before we put out side stories. Yes. We're like, fuck this. We're going to at least talk about it real quick because a breaking news item came out about the Murdaugh family. And we just wanted to say we were vaguely correct.
Kind of right.
Alec Murdaugh, he arranged for a man to try to kill him in a conspiracy to collect the $10 million life insurance for his surviving son. For those of you that don't know the full Murdaugh family murder mystery saga we've been talking about for the last several weeks, listen to last week's episode where we do a bit of a breakdown. Go look it up. It is a twisty and turny series of events, but we were vaguely correct. So, a man by the name of
Curtis Edward Smith, he has now been charged with assisted suicide, insurance fraud, and several other counts in the September 4th shooting of Alex Murdaugh.
But why did he wing him? Why didn't he actually kill him?
I don't think
he wanted. Fucked up?
I think that Alex didn't want to die. I think that he probably followed orders. Absolutely correct.
How would he get the life insurance if he didn't die?
Oh my God, Mr. Zabrowski, I can't put my brain in the brain of that big South Carolina billionaire buffoon. He's all hopped up on meds. God knows what the guy was thinking.
You guys, between his weight and your height, you guys displace the same amount of water if I put you in a bathtub. When it comes down to it, you should be able to know what Big Red is thinking. But yes, man, apparently whoever this guy was that was hired, he's 61 years fun, and he is one of these guys that seemed to be he didn't do the job completely, maybe because get what you pay for. You're looking at him, he's looking like a grizzled assassin.
He looks a little bit like one of the Randy, cousin.
Randy Quaid.
He looks a little bit like Randy Quaid.
Yeah, he does look like a prospector who didn't find anything.
Well, he definitely didn't do his job properly, if Murdaugh was supposed to die at all. So interestingly enough, in this case, in a strange, I guess this is Alex Murdaugh, again, the man who's suspected of killing his other son and his wife. I think this is technically him being nice,
in a way,
trying to get his son $10 million, but does his kid even need any more money?
No.
I feel like this family is the definition of the sentence, money is the root of all evil.
Truly, these guys are cruising for a bruising, and not only was this man charged with the attempted murder of Alec Murdaugh, he also was charged with, no surprise, distribution of methamphetamine and possession of marijuana, which he, honestly, of all of the crimes there, take those drugs off there.
What's so sad about this is, again, we have two people dead. We have this Alex Murdaugh guy grazed in the head, but the only person that has been arrested is Curtis Edward Smith, the man who was bribed to attempt to kill Alex Murdaugh, which again just shows you how much power and money these folks have, because this is the only dude to be charged.
Yeah, dude. Also, Murdaugh had represented Smith several times in the past for various charges.
Oh my God.
So he's an old client. And now they're saying Murdaugh is depressed and he's suicidal. They're doing is what we are going to, you're going to hear us talk on this episode and hear us do our armchair detective work about what actually happened and what's going on here. But they are now doing the thing that we said that they should have done in the beginning with. Now they're leaning on the pill addiction.
They're saying,
how would he know? How did he put all this together? It's the pills.
It's the pills, damn it. Well, all right, everyone. Enjoy this episode of Side Stories.
There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast on the left.
Side Stories.
Yeah, you love your glaze.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side Stories.
Yes. We're going to start today on a more somber note, which we don't normally do.
I don't even know how to do it, to be honest with you. So it's not really going to be that somber because I think we were making jokes at Kevin's funeral while it was happening. So, you know, we can only handle so much sadness.
That is,
Otherwise, our comedy has to be like, and now I feel insecure and I better come out with something.
Honestly, I get a antibody shot against feelings every January. And so about now is when it really starts to wear down, you know.
Of course. But
we need to at least mention and give a shout out to Norm MacDonald.
He's the goat, the legend, the man, the myth.
the single best comedian of this generation, of this group. I'm not saying I've stolen
his entire persona, but I've looked at it and I've said, ooh, I'll have some of that, please. Because yes. He was so freaking charming and so incredible. I'm sure that most of you know now he died at 61 years old because of cancer. So you never know what people are going through. And so we remember that apparently he had cancer for 10 years and no one knew. So
we didn't know, man. And when it comes down to it, there's nobody who's going to replace Norm Macdonald.
No.
And we just want to say, wherever you are, I hope that there is a casino.
Absolutely. Honestly. I hope there's a casino for you, Norm, and I can't wait to see you at the Great Casino in the Sky. Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome to Side Stories. I am Ben, hanging out with Henry. It is so insane. You never know what folks are going through. Send them some love. We say it all the time, but really do it. A little text, a little meme. Show them a picture of your butt crack. I mean, who cares what you send a good friend as long as it makes them smile a little bit.
We'd rather the picture of the butt crack.
Sure, why not?
Send a picture of your butt crack to a friend of yours, somebody you haven't talked to in a long time. This is a good time to do it. We're coming out of the fucking pandemic or whatever it is, going in and out of this kind of bullshit. This is a good time to re-up with all of the people that are still alive.
Absolutely. And what a strange world it is. One of the things that happens when someone dies, I know Norm wasn't the youngest, but he's certainly under the average age of death. And in my opinion, yes, he's still a baby.
61 is 61. Young for to be dead. It is old to be alive. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Great way to put that, Henry. Bob Dole outlived Norm Macdonald.
I can't believe it.
I can't believe it. Not that I care if Bob is alive or not.
Soup
I hope
in
he's
a
fine,
body but, right now. You know what I mean? Like, he's not really alive, whatever Bob Dole's doing.
Bob Dole, he posted something on Twitter, and he better do an impression of Norm, because wouldn't that be funny if Bob tries to do an impression of Norm? Now, wouldn't that
no,
be wild?
No, man, I think it would be like the fucking Nazi at the end of the Indiana Jones movie, where he's just kind of... Everyone's going to be like, get him off camera! Get him off camera! But we want to start today with a little bit of an update.
Nonetheless.
I'm so excited by this story, the Murdoch family murder mystery that we covered a little bit last week, in a little bit of detail. But honestly, the emails that we got back from some of our South Carolina listeners are very compelling.
Yes.
And I'll tell you what, they're all redacted. Each person that emailed us, which is really true, they sent a fairly juicy email, piece by piece, truly. And then I would get a follow-up email being like, hey, on second thought, please don't read this.
Yeah.
So whatever's going on in South Carolina, people are truly afraid of the Murdoch family, just even their reputation.
Absolutely.
Their abilities to trash your life. Apparently they really do. They can do that. They can really reach out and touch somebody if they want to,
yuck,
which is very interesting. But there has been an update in the news. According to Fitz News, Fitz News is like the location for Murdoch family updates and like all the current information.
If you're the local reporter for Fitz News, this is your time to become in cold blood. This is your Truman Capote moment. It's happened in your own backyard. You don't even have to charter a plane or get on a bus to go investigate what's going on in South Carolina.
I would actually strongly discourage you to go to, don't go to South Carolina.
Well, if you're a reporter, you've got to go boots on the ground. You can't be like one of these corporate cuck reporters that just follows whatever the big corporate shills tell them to say. But I want to say this when it comes to the emails. Thank you so much for sending those. And we won't be reading those because, yes, as Henry said, everyone was like, and second of thought, my mom lives near one of their friends and we are a bit concerned that they have so much power and reach.
They're so scared of their web, dude. I can't believe it. I was like, and I guess they're not going to come for us, I guess, because we're Hollywood elites or some bullshit. But we're not there. We're not in South Carolina. But honestly, the tension that I got in the emails was palpable.
It is insane. They look like the family from like The Hills Have Eyes. But if The Hills Have Eyes, if that family won the lottery, but they also have no idea how to spend the money or how to be really classy or how to
treat
people.
My mutant lottery dream home. What I need is a ravine I can fuck my daughter in. Well, that's going to really bump up the square footage.
Yes, it is.
But FitzNews.com, that's FitzNews.com, they have the newest update that actually came out today, which is, so what we know about Alec Murdoch, the last time we saw him, he is now in the hospital, right? He was in the hospital for getting a superficial head wound treated from these vandals, these men that came and shot him in the head, and he didn't know them. He must have been some kind of Asian. I think he said that several times, and now he's in rehab for pills. We know that. But according to Fitz News, they have found the knife that was used to slash Alec Murdoch's tire that he was investigating, right?
So this should bring us closer to the people who murdered his son and daughter. I mean, whoever owns this knife, this is a pretty big piece of evidence, I would say. Does it belong to, Henry?
It's pointing towards Alec Murdoch himself.
What?
Whoa! We're going to find out if this is real or not.
No, but the truth shit.
It seems like he might have set this up on his own, because when it comes down to it, this storyline doesn't make any fucking sense. So you mean to tell me he was driving down a road with a slash tire? Now, there's a difference between which, of course, he slashed. But let's just say that he didn't slash his own tire.
Sure.
Hey, you've driven with a flat before.
But yes, I did.
Normally, a flat takes a while for it to express itself. Normally, it's a leak. The object is stuck inside, something like that.
Oh,
it takes a long time for the fucking knuckles deep. But sometimes we are 9 years old.
Yes. Yep. That's right.
But we'll never get to Norm's level. We're never going to get there. But when you drive with an open slashed tire, I don't think it's the same. I feel like normally when you get a flat, it slowly decompresses.
Nail or something like that. Maybe you
and
hit
all
the
of a sudden you hear the
curb.
When you're driving. But this shit, so you have a slashed open tire that you drove in. So he was like, oh, something's wrong with my tire. And then he got out to investigate it. And that's when he got shot, which I think is absolute horseshit. He did the whole thing right there.
Well, you mentioned Henry as well. Also, when I got my flat tire, that was the worst day of my life. Jerry had ran away. I'm searching for him on the sidewalk. Yes. All of a sudden, my tire gets flat. I had something else horrible happen. I was like, I am living a freaking country song right now. But what definitely points me in the direction that he was the one who did all of this, and there was no third person, a man with one arm or perhaps one testicle. It was the one nut man. We could be. But the thing is, as we just talked about, with how horrified everyone was to even email us, if somebody shot this dude in the head, I have a feeling they would find out who did it. So now People Magazine has been talking about, like, the gunshot wound. And as we talked about last week, like, seems a little fishy. Seems like they didn't do a great job. Horrible hit, man. But Alex has taken to email to say it was not a self-inflicted gunshot wound.
It certainly was not. And I can tell you that for certain, because I was the guy who got shot.
And according to NP Strategy in Colombia, which, you know, every time your family gets killed and then you've been shot on the side of the road and then you find out there's a knife that was used to gash a tire open that happened to belong to you, you're going to want to get a strategy company from Colombia.
It's important to always think about the optics in this scenario. You don't want to think about, like, really trying to find the killer. It's all about making sure that if you got good, because look at these pictures of Alec Murdoch. To be honest, he needs a stylist.
He needs a lot, including his family.
He's got suspender voice. He's the type of man, when it comes down to it, I feel like you got to hit 70 before you could start wearing suspenders.
I think suspenders are a lot like diapers. From 0 to 2, super cute. And then
from
80 to 82, then you can
unless
start wearing diapers.
Unless you're a steampunk person or you are a sexy woman doing a penguin cosplay.
Oh, right. So according to Amanda Loveday, a spokesperson for Murdoch, there has been some misreporting about Alex Murdoch and his shooting on September 4th. So we wanted to clear that up with a number of facts for the day. So then this is an entire breakdown, according to the spokesperson. She says, after the shooting, Alex had an entry and exit wound. His skull was fractured, and it was not a self-inflicted bullet wound. They go on to say Alex pulled over after seeing a low tire indicator light. A male driver in a blue pickup truck asked him if he had car troubles. As soon as Alex replied, he was shot.
What are you doing? What am I doing here?
Looks like you're jerking off the air.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing, because that's what he's fucking doing with this bullshit story. It's absolute garbage. He's a total fucking liar. He did it to himself. He definitely shot himself in the head. And he made up this story. There was no other pickup truck. You can't drive in a slash tire for there. Like, he didn't need, I'm pulling my headphones out. He didn't even need the tire indicator light to go off if you have a slash on.
Oh, yeah, it is. Oh, there's no light that says my tire is flat, though. Everything must be fine. It's like when someone drives into the lake because their Google Maps told them that that was the right road to go on.
Well,
and they
it's
end up
on
in the lake
the map.
Like, I don't know.
It didn't say to go left or right. It went right through the lake. And that's what I guess what happens. I should have clicked avoid suicide when I was looking for the map.
But this man is a prime example of just be careful what you wish for. You know, you look at Home Alone. What a cute story that was. He says, I wish my parents weren't here. They didn't die, though. They just went on a plane. They forgot Kevin, right? And then, of course, there was a home invasion. And theoretically, that's a horror movie. And I love that movie with all my heart.
In real life, those burglars probably would have pinned Kevin down and, like, fiddled with him a bunch and then left his body there.
It would have been a new reason to call them the Wet Bandits. Yeah, it would have been disgusting. But, of course, thank you for Micro Machines, Michael Jordan posters, and all the things that Kevin utilized to beat off those two horrible, horrible intruders. When it comes to this man wishing his family away, which is obviously what he did, I think at this point, he would prefer if they were just back. Because it seems like every single thing
he wants
done,
a mulligan, is what you're saying?
I think he wants one mulligan, because every single... Henry and I were talking before the show. Obviously, the man is addicted to pain pills and a whole series of different pills.
Yeah, he's not thinking correct. He's not, he is not in line with reality.
He's not thinking correct, Henry. But I think it's safe to say he is thinking. Like, he is just sitting there.
Oh, he's
stewing. Just like,
he's scheming.
What do I do now? What do I do? Murder, dog, big red, big dog.
He's
what are you
fucking
gonna do?
Doing his fucking bullshit. He's in his uncut gem shit. He's in the end of Goodfellas where he's seeing the black helicopters everywhere, but he sent the helicopters. All you had to not do was kill your family. Technically, you should have leaned on the pill addiction. If you're already covering up an embezzlement, you should just throw yourself into rehab. Do the thing. Look at Robert Downey Jr.
Sure.
Remember, Robert Downey Jr. was breaking into people's homes and shit and, like, wandering around L.A., and now he's beloved.
But, you know, the difference is Robert Downey Jr. found love. She got him nice and sober.
She did.
She's alive. They're still together.
Because he didn't kill her.
Yeah.
Not yet.
It seems as if that actually... He will not.
Not yet. I don't know. The actors are unpredictable. You also can't trust an actor.
Well, they are unpredictable.
Think about this. How many people, like, well, I love John Mulaney's comedy. Everybody came up with this idea that he's just some, like, he's some guy. And then all of a sudden, now everybody's mad that he, like, left his family and shit. When it came down to it, you were the one who had this idea that he was some fake good boy, where he was just a normal man.
He was just a man
who's got the same, who struggles with money and drugs and all this kind of shit. But you lean on the rehab.
Yes, indeed you do. So it looks like Murdoch is a Murdoch. It looks like, as things continue to definitely spiral out of control for this man.
Yes, for him, yeah.
At some point, hopefully, by next week's episode, fingers crossed, we will have an actual answer, because
I doubt
at
it,
some
man.
Point
Sled
again,
is doing shit. They're not doing anything. South Carolina's not going to be doing anything. I think they're going to try to cover this up as much as humanly possible.
I wonder if this gets all the way to Ham and Biscuits, Lindsey Graham, y'all. Does this get all the way?
Is
that how powerful this? I mean, if they're that powerful, how big is freaking South Carolina? Like,
well, think about how Lindsey Graham has a team of gay sex workers that all keep his secrets for him.
Yeah.
And all of these people that keep these secrets for him. South Carolina is a place where people, that's where the swamp is, friend. After you go down there, down by the creek, and anything can happen.
Oh,
you get on there,
God.
You see
you
two politicians
see
blowing each other out there, and when it comes down to it, you should be doing it on the street and encouraging it.
You can just see Alex Murdoch and Lindsey Graham sharing each other's eyes as they hopefully a person of age, but
I hope
God
it's
knows
a
that
person
can go
of age. Just be 18,
way.
That's all. Just make them 18.
Yeah, right. So we'll keep you up to date on what's going on with all that.
We will. Now, this story, I love this story. You know why?
You love it? Are you sure you want to say, I don't know what story you're going to go with, but are you sure you want to say you love this story?
I love this story because this story is, I mean, it's right on the money. Spanish bishop. Oh, this is the
this
head
is,
of
okay,
this
one. Yes, you're allowed to love this one. That's true.
I love this one. He's a bishop for the Catholic Church. He quit for his love of satanic erotica. Now, of course he did, because he's Roman Catholic. And Roman Catholicism is, again, it's a pipeline to Satanism.
It's the darkest rhetoric of any religion, I think, a mainstream religion. They really go there.
they really go there, and it's so naughty to think any private thought. You know what I mean? Like God is the ultimate surveillance program. He is up in every one of the, every single image you have in your mind. He scans. So every time you got a hard on, guess what? You give God a hard on too.
Oh, now, wow. I love to think about that.
But the, you know what this comes down to? This is also the story of Thornbirds, because he didn't just fall in love with porn. He fell in love with the woman who wrote the porn. Now, this was in 2010. At the age of 41, this guy, he became the youngest bishop in Solsona. Now, this is in Spain, right? This guy, whoever this fucking guy is, who gives a shit about Xavier Novell? But when it comes down to it, I'm glad that he had the transformation, because he backed conversion therapy.
Yeah, he's a real scumbag on that.
He was total scumbag. He carried out exorcisms, which is really interesting. But they loved him. He was a rising star in the Catholic Church. They absolutely loved him. But apparently he fell for this person, Silvia Carvajal. It was a psychologist and erotic novelist, of course.
Ooh, do you know, much like Stacey Abrams, she could write some good smut. Did you, one of the titles here of the book, I mean, I get it, man. If you're a horned up dude, you tend to love spiritualism and sort of maybe cryptic kind of verbiage. If you want to mix that into your sex play, I mean, I never did it, but I'm assuming having sex in a Catholic church, like on the main podium with the saint's bow and all that, you could probably get some steamy stuff in there. But apparently one of the titles of the book that really got him was The Hell of Gabriel's Lust.
Yeah,
which was the, and the trilogy, Amnesia.
Amnesia. Amnesia. And apparently in the blurb for one of her works, the reader is promised a journey into sadism, madness, and lust, and a struggle between good and evil. Now, this is so interesting because I do think it falls in line with the way a bishop could view his life. So in these books, what it seems to me, it sounds like priests are getting their dick sucked. And at some point, he put himself in those little, like, elf shoes the priests wear over in Europe. And he saw himself being like, what if I could get blown? And then he did what any other red-blooded man in 2021 does when he likes a person's work. He slid into her DMs.
Oh.
He sent her an email saying, hey, we should get together. And then guess what, man?
What?
A couple of fucking siestas later, a couple of plates of paella, and all of a sudden, he has fallen in love with this woman, and this is what he says. This is his quote. I have fallen in love, and I want to do things properly.
Aww.
It's just incredible that he did, right? Look at that, I guess, in a way, all right? Because now that we're talking again about the celibacy within the Catholic Church, Xavier Novell admitted earlier in his youth he had fallen in love with an 18-year-old girl.
Uh-oh.
And he had wanted to marry and have children before deciding on a different path. But now this fucker is going to maybe come once, and what that will actually do, hey, that might clear out some space for him to have a human fucking thought.
I believe they've been together for a little while now, my understanding. So good for them. And I think he is still, unfortunately, pro-gay conversion therapy.
Yeah. That so hasn't helped. Needs to now fucking do the Liz Estrada thing where you got to take that pussy back and be like, you need to change your shit. Or you ain't going to get none of these.
Absolutely. Well, never let an institution stop you from finding love. And dare I say Catholic Church, you want to get rid of all the disgusting habits of your priests.
Let them
fuck. Let them find love. Yes, that might help.
Rise from your grave.
All right. Well, speaking of finding love, this man, I don't even think he was looking for it. And this was the story I was concerned that Henry said, was saying that he loved. Because this story is, it's disgusting because I don't even know how you get cum inside of a syringe. But nonetheless, there's this dude.
You pool it.
Yeah. He looks
use a funnel, I think.
He looks like someone who's like a plumber, but he only wants to plumb toilets that are absolutely devastated after Juggalo concerts. It looks like he loves the job of plumbing. He looks like someone who is very strong and very stern. He's a 53-year-old dude. Evidently, he was filling syringes full of semen, and then he was injecting them into women. This was in Maryland.
In their butts. Yeah, it's not good, man.
Well,
we covered this story last year. We did end up covering this story because this happened in 2020 in February, and I seem to remember this butt stabber, and now he has finally been sentenced to 10 years.
Finally sentenced. He is sentenced to 10 years, as Henry said. Apparently, he was possibly going to be sentenced to 25 years,
yes.
But a judge suspended all of it, but the 10 years. So yeah, be careful out there. In New York, there was also a situation occurring where there was a butt slasher at one point. I don't know if we have to start with selling like underwear that has like steel plates on the bottom so that people can't be slashing butts. I don't know what to do about this situation because these people are rogue individuals. And I can't imagine if this guy did have any friends, he doesn't look like he did.
No.
I can't imagine he like sent them a text and be like, guess what I'm up to? And then a little
squeak,
image.
Squeak, squeak, yeah. Squeak, squeak. Yeah. They'd be like, well, I don't know, man. Well, do you, buddy. I guess we're almost in quarantine, so do you. I look at this guy and I wonder, number one, where did he get this idea from? Is this an internet thing? You know how these adults are with internets. You know, and number two, again, how much cum did he have to put into a syringe to fill it? How much did he have to cum and set it up?
But don't you have to do it fairly quickly? Because doesn't cum dry? And then you just got a bunch of dust in there. And then whatever.
It really can. But I'm going to maybe, let me submit this idea. We do have some listeners over 50. So to those of you that are normal, I apologize. But when it comes down to it, is I think when you hit 50, you should take some form of test that says, should you be allowed on the internet? Let's take a look at what you think, like just kind of a litmus test of how you react to certain things, right? Because Q still rides basically on the backs of 50-year-olds internet.
I was in Vegas last weekend, and it's a hodgepodge of humanity, but there were stuff. I mean, you know, it is what it is. And sometimes you overhear things at a bar, and
alternative thoughts.
Well, I was speaking with one of my favorite bartenders. She's now retired. She's done on Monday. But I didn't realize she started going in, right? Because she gets her sources. And so she started going in.
Oh, she's doing independent research.
She believes that Trump is still in office. And there was a whole bunch of different kind
he's
of crazy
not,
stuff.
He's not, though, but he would be on TV and stuff. Like, he would be being president.
But there was a lot. She also was like, that's all Antifa. Like, all the... Anyway, it doesn't matter. But
Antifa doesn't even have, a building where they... Antifa's technically a concept that anybody can say what it is.
People can get very confused, and it's unfortunate. Yes. So, according to police, Katie Peters, she was stabbed or poked, I suppose, rather, by this syringe full of semen. This is what she told the police. She said she was stabbed, and then she looked at him, and she was like, did you just touch me with a lit cigarette? And then he replied... Yeah, it felt like a bee sting, didn't it?
Yeah, and it's fucked up, man. That fucks me. It fucks me up. There's no reason for this. You don't need to have a catchphrase while doing it. That definitely makes it worse. I just, again, man, check in on your 50-year-olds. See if they've got hobbies, you know, like healthy hobbies. Yeah. Even if it's just reading the Post. You know,
sure,
like the Post
is,
the Post, it's good. It's good and conservative on one edge because it can make you laugh at a bunch of cruel stuff. But also at the same time, it can just give them the sports section. They can stay into sports.
Get the sports section. So the cops were immediately on this. They were like, we have ourselves a massive bandit. So a few days later, he was identified. He was pulled over by police. And when pulled over... They found a syringe in his vehicle, and he was also in the possession of another syringe, both of them containing semen. So this was a serial semener. And,
yes.
It's not good, and I have no idea. Maybe someone in the psychology world can tell us, what is our email? LPOTL at gmail.com.
Side stories, LPOTL. Jesus Christ. Oh, my God.
Side stories, LPOTL at gmail.com. Let us know. I mean, obviously, it's a power move. And the dude is like trying to assert his unbelievable male dominance. It's just disgusting. So anyway, also punch him in the freaking face.
Yeah, man. Fucking attack him. That's what Natalie said. She was like, if that had ever fucking happened to me, I would kill him with my bare hands. And I was I guarantee.
It would be a scene out of, that would be straight up Natalie. What did you just do to me? That would be straight out of Kill Bill.
Oh,
it would be so much blood.
She'd
the high kicks
ham.
Alone. Hopefully she'd be wearing heels. And
oh
then the high,
my
and then
God.
You could just right in the freaking right in the eye.
Woo! Whap.
Anyway.
Speaking of whap, you know there's another serial egger that's happening.
Wait,
this
what?
Is in Georgetown. There's another serial egger.
There's a copycat.
There's another copycat person, hitting people with eggs. This is in Georgetown, right outside of Georgetown University. This I might blame on students. We did get one heavily fabricated Chicago Scrambler email. I appreciate the creativity, but to be honest, it wasn't mysterious enough for us to read it on air.
I feel like, I'm sorry, I'm not going to give the second Egger any attention. You're not the goat. You're not the original one. So, yeah, now you're just a copycat egg thrower. That doesn't really ring true. You need to figure out something out. Maybe start throwing raspberries at somebody or grapes. Anything that explodes would work as well. You know, like a fruit of some kind. Water balloons are too classic. You're not making the news with that. But you cannot. Water balloons. The eggs are off the table. I'm sorry.
Do you remember the guy in Toronto that would dump buckets of shit that he used to take from the porter potties on people? There's that one. You can do that.
Every day. Every day I think about that, and I'm just so happy to be reminded of that. And
what about getting whizzed? Like cheese whizzed.
Oh, yeah, getting whizzed. That could be kind of cool.
Thin a bunch of nacho cheese in a super soaker. Do they still sell super soakers?
Oh, yeah, buddy. They're better than ever.
These kids have it
way too good. I've said that before. I mean, yeah, they can't go to school or anything, but these kids have it too
there's
good.
There's no job market for them. No. And, you know, in the world is burning down and the temperatures are flying over, but that's fine. It doesn't matter. But honestly, super soaker filled with watered down nacho cheese.
Yeah. I mean, I could see that working pretty well because the goal is to just agitate ever so.
Yes.
So
you're not trying to hurt. You're not trying to be guilty of a crime because you notice the Chicago Scrambler still has not been charged with a crime.
Right. Yeah, it's just like if you're driving down Avenue of Americas in New York City, you got everyone in their suits. They're all, ho-hum, going to work, kind of depressed. Oh, I don't really like my wife. Oh, man, I wish I could have sex with that Instagram model I've been DMing, but she doesn't seem to get back to me. Cover them in cheese whiz. It's just going to be slightly annoying for them.
And, but hey, man, and it gets it out of your system. Yeah. It gets it out of your system without killing a bunch of people, which I think is really important. I think there's so many ways to, I am totally all about societal mayhem. If you're going to do a little bit of it, the whole point is to sprinkle it in, teach people a lesson, make them question their reality. Very similar to the Somerset Gimp Man.
Now, what is going on here in Somerset?
This is this happened. There was in 2019. There was a series of sightings of a masked man in Claverham. He in a full gimp outfit.
You know, right? I'm looking at the pictures of him. He looks good in a gimp suit. He's got looking a tight thin. Bod. He's like, yeah, he's thin. He's fit. I like the eyes with the little X's on them. It's a horrifying suit if you saw it hanging. If you saw it like at the end of your bed as you were waking up slightly and you're like, I think I'm in sleep paralysis. But then you realize it's not sleep paralysis and it's actually a gimp.
I wanted to wear one. I wanted to get one as a gag gift.
You do have your, I mean, it's not a gimp suit, but you do have that one like, that moth outfit or that moth. Don't you have, like some
bat thing
or something.
I have a bat costume and I like morph suits. I think they're fun, right?
Yeah.
I wanted a gimp suit, but they're like fucking $400.
Well, that's just a little bit too pricey.
They're really expensive.
Like,
but in 2019, so he popped out of a bush. There were people late at night walking and he popped out of a bush and they said they didn't like him because he was like fiddling with his dick of balls, like grunting and breathing heavy. So he was having fun, whatever. Right?
No, it's not good.
People got mad at him. All right. But the cops went looking for him and they couldn't find him because he was wearing a gimp suit and all he had to do was unzip it. And then he was out. And then cut to, I believe 2 weeks ago, he's back, baby. He's out there, and I tell you what, these families are shattered by it because they're all like, this one poor mother says, I've got older children, and even more kids are saying, it's a gimp man again. They're really freaked out by it, but it could be anyone, and I want to come from a practical point of view and do something to help people feel safer. Now, I'm not too bothered to walk around on my own, but it freaks my children out. I don't want them to feel safer.
Oh, the picture of the town makes it look like it's like a Hummel. It looks like it belongs in a snow globe. It's like the cutest little town.
It looks like it
town.
Needs a gimp man.
I don't know. No town needs a gimp man, but every town has, like we talked about in my hometown, there was a fellow who would have sex with cats. We all knew it.
He's a character.
He's a character.
It's a part of the town tapestry. I don't know.
Yeah, so the Gimp Man, as far as we know, again, I won't believe he's touched anyone. I think he's just creeping people out, kind of
no,
like
no, he grabs it and taking balls and he goes, and I guess I know that that's bad. I know that there are people immediately going to be mad that I said that it's fine or that it's like it's fun. But I also think that it's better that he doesn't honk your breasts. Right?
Yeah.
It's better that he doesn't grab at you or stick a syringe of semen inside of you. So
sure.
I guess in a way, I guess because I had at least two people masturbate at me in New York. And in a way, it felt like so much more of a compliment.
Yeah, you want to say that, huh? You like that? Yeah, you like
I do.
That.
I'm not all the time, but yeah. It's the
I
way I kind of rolled it around
thinking
in my
that.
Head.
I remember you sort of being traumatized afterwards. I remember you
just
being
like,
I had another
horrible
time of the subway, and then this person was jerking off at me, and it was kind of strange because he didn't even give you a movie role or anything.
You know what's interesting about trauma and like the little traumas, like especially mm-hmm. like living in New York and how it happens
every
you know, 5 days or so. There's like a micro trauma that happens
oh,
to you.
Oh yeah, macro trauma.
Yeah, but you see, trauma, I call it micro because you know what's like sometimes in my mind. I sometimes imagine my life is like two big lumps of ice cream, and we're at a Cold Stone, and those micro traumas, you just kind of fold them in. So you don't really taste them after a while. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You just kind of mash them all together, and then it just becomes the fabric that is the background of my mind.
Yes, indeed, but don't forget you can still get sick from them. So be very careful, and dare I say, put a couple of sprinkles of cherry, put a couple of sprinkles of those little, I call them sugar
cylinders. We remember
sugar
when
cylinders.
The first time you, as the clot moved closer to the center of your brain.
Live from your grave.
All right, so let's move on. When it comes to, we talk about this because we try to be fair. As human beings,
we're fair and balanced.
We try to be as fair as possible. And we know police have hard jobs. And one of the most difficult thing a police officer has to do with his unit is a standoff. Because you get all hungry and then you're like, where's the coffee? And
you're talking about a stakeout?
No, I'm talking about a standoff.
Oh, the stakeout is where you get hungry.
Well, I think you can also get hungry during an armed standoff, depending on
how long
it lasts. Well, of course, you're constantly hungry. But this woman... She said, look at these officers, hunks with junk. That's their guns. And she said, there's an armed standoff going on. So let me bring a little bit of levity to it.
So you mean to tell me they were like outside of the standoff? Like they were outside and someone had barricaded themselves inside of a house?
Well,
is that how it is?
The officers were involved in an armed standoff with a teenager. And that's
what?
When Jessica Smith, she's 28 years young and she's quite cute. She drove past several patrol cars well, behind the wheel of a golf cart.
Okay.
Now, Smith said, oh, I don't care, because they're like, get out of here, ma'am. This is the middle of an armed standoff. She said, I don't really care. She's butt-ass naked.
Whoa, she was naked?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Smith says she refused to exit the golf cart. She was assisted out and handcuffed around 12:05 a.m. Believe it or not, she did smell like alcohol. And
what?
It was found,
and
yeah.
According to the mugshot, it did look like she might have also smoked a little bit. And or she was just also very, very, very intoxicated.
Or she's just having a good time trying to end an armed standoff. And what
better her,
way
man.
To do it is through some boobies. So the complaint lists Smith's home address as the resident. She's in Massachusetts. And Smith's parents own a home about a mile away from where she was arrested. Investigators allege that Smith's naked antics, quote, put multiple deputies at risk for potential of getting shot at.
Oh, yeah, because she was like a distraction. Like this was Ocean's 12.
I guess so. But I also feel like if I'm in a standoff and I'm a teenager, let's assume it's a teenage boy. And all of a sudden I see this naked woman in a golf cart. The last thing I'm thinking about is shooting a bunch of people. I'm
no,
like,
yeah.
I can't
all of a sudden.
Whoa.
It's all boobies. It's just boobies.
It's all
your
boobies.
Brain.
And the blood flow went from his brain right to his dick. In this case, that actually helps because his brain was obviously like, kill the cops. But then
maybe.
His dick was like, look at that. Beautiful woman on a golf court.
Maybe this speaks to the defund the police movement, right? Defund the cops, right? Where what we do is we just take some of the big, like all of their, we take away some of their military gear, and we need to have 5 topless and bottomless officers that are a part of this diffusion
Absolutely.
Group that can go out there. So you got tits out. For the people who like tits,
you got some
and you got a dick out officer.
Sure.
Yeah, we got dicks out for people who like penises so that you can go out there and then they can go to
you
certain
know,
like situations and they can defuse it just by going like, hey, why don't you take a look at my breasts and think
absolutely.
About whether or not you want to rob this bank?
You know, that's a great idea. We talk about how to end standoffs. Some officers do it better than others.
You know, if you want to end a standoff, bring some stools.
bring some stool, sit down, sit off, and that's just kind of fun. That's a great point, Henry. But it would be kind of fun. You could put on a musical performance. You can do anything.
More singing telegrams in the police.
Absolutely, but don't shoot them like that movie Clue, because that's nice
a curb. That's a felony. If you hate them, even if you hate singing telegrams, if you murder them, you will go to jail.
Man, I'll tell you, man, we don't even think about singing telegrams enough anymore. Whatever happened to that profession? I want to bring the singing telegram back, but I didn't even hear about it before COVID.
I knew some people who did singing telegrams pre-COVID.
Really?
And I tell you what, man, it's a rough scene. It's hard out there.
If you're a singing telegram person
that is listening, please confirm this. Sitestorieslpotl@gmail.com.
Is it? Okay, hold on a second.
It's a hard life.
Are they supposed to go over there and actually sing, or is it like air quote singing telegram? And the next thing
A stripper.
But I'm saying, in order to get, sometimes you have to have fun code words. If you're in a place like South Carolina, be like singing telegram, but then like also the whole series of things.
Oh, like they're
happen.
Calling abortions crystals in Texas, like that idea, like doing that type of thing. We're saying like, do you need help getting some crystals? Yes. You know what? I feel like that is such an intrinsic, such a law to break within the world of singing telegrams if you lie about it. And I feel like people would be really upset if they were expecting a singing telegram and then they just got some guy, he just, I guess, brought a basket of ham. Or you mean like, while I do appreciate you bringing a basket of ham, I do want the singing telegram part to be administered. But what I will say about singing telegrams is that a lot of times people buy singing telegrams as like a gag gift for somebody else. But I'll tell you what, you know what happens is that you are purchasing a gag gift then that has a mind. Right.
Yeah.
That is a human. It's a human arriving. So you think it's really fun and it's this like funny thing to do. But then you, as a human being that is not a robot, arrive to deliver this singing telegram that you have been paid to do to people that maybe don't want it.
And they laugh at you.
They either laugh at you, they physically attack you because they don't want you there because maybe you surprised the fuck out of them. I remember I was on the set of Wolf of Wall Street and a singing telegram was sent for Martin Scorsese's birthday.
Okay.
And the person came and they had to sing the song. For
just
Scorsese.
One song or multiple songs?
It was during lunch. It was several songs. And the
and
thing
what were
was,
some
is
of the
that,
songs, Henry?
I don't remember. Because we were all watching because it was so like, it was so unexpected and it was really funny. But the problem was is that like, and Scorsese did good, right? Like he went like, okay, you know, like he did a clap and stuff. But then it was hard because then the person had to be driven away. Like they had to like then scoop this person away. Because then it's also, oh, now you're too close. Now you're too close to Martin Scorsese. And then meanwhile, this person's like, you hired me. I'm here. I'm a person. I watch them get brought in as if they were like a towel rack and then removed as if they were a streaker at the World
I'm
Series.
I'm starting to think this entertainment industry is cold. I don't know why.
No, it's intense.
I'm not sure why. But hear me out on this, Henry. A singing telegram company. Everyone dresses like pigs. And it's called Singing Teleham.
They have to sing
yes. pig themed songs, and I need to hear some oinks in there.
Total Eclipse of the Oink. Parodies. I want pig based song parodies. 2 out of 3 ain't pig.
That's a wow.
I don't know. I'm just making these up, so I don't know. We haven't really put
our brains to it yet, but I think Singing Teleham, the company, I think it could be really big.
We've been trying to find a way to invest our money.
Maybe pour some gravy on me. If you think about pour some sugar on me, pour some gravy on me. There's a whole lot of stuff we could do.
How about this, Kissel? Instead of us investing our money first, what if we take Marcus's money and see how it does first?
You know what? Let's... Small D democracy here at LPN. So
two out of three.
But you wait until it becomes a multi-billion-dollar industry.
Then he'll see.
He's going to cut us out of it, and then there's going to be lawsuits. And
He's going to. Whoa, that's right. He could
and then
do
we
that.
Have to hire.
Fuck Marcus, man. Fuck this shit. He's going to betray us. We came up with Singing Teleham.
No, technically, you have just created this entire narrative in your own head. But at some point. Our most famous singing Teleham will have to appear in court And maybe the name will be like Chris T. Bacon or something like that. I don't know.
That's incredible. That's kind of sexy. Speaking of show business, you got to be really careful out there if you're an orb, because there's somebody out there shooting you. I want you to watch a documentary that is called Capturing the Light. About a woman named Dorothy Izatt, I-Z-A-T-T, who has accumulated over 30,000 feet of 8mm footage, of 16mm footage of UFOs.
Wow. And it is... How'd she get that?
It is compelling. It is very, very interesting. This documentary is... It's one of those. It's not like Billy Meier, because Billy Meier obviously made up all of the footage. Like, all of his shit was absolutely fake. And the other guy that ended up being a child molester, I forget what was the name of his. I think his documentary was called Unacknowledged. This is a very simple grandmother that films these things because she has this weird connection to these UFOs. And I tell you what, this shit's fucking wiggity, man. I don't know what the hell's going on out there. But these people, these orbs are visiting Dorothy Izatt, and she's watching them all the time. And she keeps saying, I don't want money. I just want someone to believe the messages of these aliens. And the messages of the aliens, they're speaking with her telepathically, and they're saying, we better watch our shit, because we are on a path to destruction, my friend.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, thank you, aliens, for telling us that. In no way is that scary. Okay. Yes, and there are so many, I'm sure everyone already looks at it, but so many different orb sightings and weird sightings. I'm not a huge fan of these ring cams, but they do pick up a lot of stuff now, don't they?
Did you see that?
Yes. I sent you that article, yeah.
That article was also very interesting, object caught on a fucking ring video, because again, these are not, they can't be like, I guess they could be manipulated, but it's very difficult. If you look at the footage, you're like, what the fuck is this shit? I love the time period we're in.
That video was found on a ring cam in Anson County. And this is a quote from Therese McNair, who noticed something strange coming from the sky. She says, my sister wanted me to see what was coming from the sky. However, never noticed the events afterwards regarding the neighbor's roof and what transformed at the end of the hedges. I happened to notice it because I continue to look at the video. We're still in awe, and I don't know what to make of it. However, it is something. Which is as close as you get when it comes to seeing a UFO. Be like, it's something!
It's something!
It's something!
But also, I was watching an interesting video about ball lightning. Right? And that's not just my roller derby name. Mm-hmm. But this, it is this really, obviously, nobody really, I guess what really shocked me is that nobody really knows what it is, and there's very little legit footage of ball lightning. But what I did learn is that it's a part of what is the quote-unquote UAP, the Unidentified Aerial Phenomena, that the government has been researching alongside ATIP, right? So things like ATIP, they do research stuff like this, which is this concept of this kind of free-floating plasma, because they still don't know what ball lightning is. And one theory that is apparently a legit theory is that it is a sign of interdimensionality, and that what we're seeing is something like, you know how, like, if you walk in front of a projector, you create a shadow? Uh-huh. It's like that, but it's something how it's creating a shadow walking between dimensions. Isn't that fascinating, Kissel? Fascinating. Don't you fucking love it, you piece of fucking shit?
I love it indeed. Yeah, they say that what they saw looked faster than a shooting star. Maybe it hit the ground, but they heard it was like a whoosh, and they could barely see it with the naked eye. Anywho, all right, so the truth is out there somewhere. We just have to figure out what is going on.
What is going on?
Well, let's get to something that we know for a fact. That's Hero of the Week. Okay, this is a twofer week because I got my middle man and I got my wrestling man. It's the time for real American heroes. Al Snow, give me head. That's what he used to say.
Oh, yeah.
He used to come out with the fake stuff with the mannequin head, and Al Snow was amazing. So anywho, he's got a good old dad bod and he was swimming to show it off. And a boy got stuck in a riptide in Destin Beach, Florida. And those are no joke. I would not be here right now if I was not as big as I am. Because the first time I was in Florida at like 3 a.m., I took off all my clothes, ran into the ocean, and I got hit with a wave. And I was like, oh, the ocean's really strong. And it literally, if I was your size, Henry, I'm just gone, leaving a pile of clothes
Dude,
right there on the beach.
I'm scared of the Atlantic Ocean.
It is very powerful. So Al Snow, he saw this kid. He's like, no, not on my watch, sir. and he grabbed the boy, and this is what he had to say. He says, "I think the riptide caught him because every time a wave came in, it would start to pull him further and further out. I could see him starting to panic, and I heard the mom screaming, 'Somebody help him!' The lifeguard had gotten up, but I knew she wasn't going to make it in time, and I was still pretty far away, but I started running through the water, trying to get over there. I made it, thank God, and caught him by the arm just as a wave started to pull him out even further. If I hadn't grabbed him,
jeez,
I think he would have gone out to sea. And that would have been it." So thank you, Al Snow, for saying, "Look at that child." And you can almost see the scene. Like,
look at that child!
But, I mean, not a great day for the lifeguard.
It's very difficult to see if someone's drowning because they don't make a lot of noise. It's silent. I remember that from videos. I don't know what. I didn't know how I learned that.
Well, next thing you know, all of a sudden you're going into the water. You're pulling every single person out. They're kicking and screaming.
Oh, yeah. If I'm drowning, everybody.
I thought you were all drowning, but no.
Three people are drowning with me. If you're near me, you're drowning with me because I will flail and scream and grab.
Yeah, I believe that. All right. And the second hero of the week, I don't know. Ooh,
we got two.
I don't know much about this band, but maybe, Henry, have you heard of this band, Greyhawk?
No.
Okay, so the basis for Greyhawk.
Well, that's good, though, because we'll get the bump. This is now it's time. You're going to hit the fucking stratosphere.
Because douchebags exist, there was a shooting at this venue. The guy's name was Darren Wall, who stopped the shooting before it even began during a show at a place called the Shredder in Boise, Idaho. Wall said in an interview that he had saw a would-be shooter, Ethan Berg, began making finger gun motions and pretending to shoot people in the crowd. So Wall said, "I don't know if anyone else saw it. I got a weird feeling right away. Sometimes you confront really wasted people. Yes, you do. Or really drunk, and they're really angry, and they're shouting, and they're belligerent. This guy was really cold. That's what I would say." He goes on to say, "I saw him reach behind his back and grab the gun, and that's when I moved in. No other options went through my head. The gun was in the pocket of his pants, and he shot me through his pants and got me in the upper thigh." So this guy actually took a bullet for his crowd. What have you done for our audience, Mr. Zabrowski?
Nothing. I've done nothing. All I want to do is I'll save you. I'll save you, man.
Uh-huh. So Darren Wall, the bassist for the band Greyhawk. Great job, buddy. That sucks. And that's freaking
good work.
Nightmare. Stop ruining live events for everyone. And keep your anger. I don't know. Go to therapy. Figure it out, buddy.
Killing
a bunch of people at a Greyhawk concert, it ain't going to make you happy. You're ruining your own life.
You're just garbage. You're just to be, just fucking think about what you're doing because get a friend, get a life.
I mean, I think about what damn near ruined the mind of the lead singer of the Eagles of Death Metal. That terror attack in France was so, I mean, if you read the descriptions of what would happen there, holy
yes.
hell. So stop doing that. But thank you so much for the heroes of the week, Mr. Wall and Mr. Snow. Great work.
Good work. All right. It's time for some listener emails.
Nice.
We got a good missive from, because we gave a solid shout out to plumbers, and I want to read this email from a plumber.
All right. I love a good plumber.
"I was in the Navy for a few years, and I immediately became accustomed to the quote-unquote shit lasagna. Being a plumber on the ship, thankfully I was an electrician and didn't have to deal with this atrocity. When this happens, I don't want to know what goes on. When the main toilet systems, or VCHT is what the system is called, vacuum, collection, holding, and transfer, get shut down for maintenance, the toilets don't work, and we're told not to use them. But that doesn't stop anyone from doing it."
Oh my gosh, you want to stop. If the toilet says closed for Dookie, you got to close it up.
It's hard, man, because you're like, not my fucking job, bro. But then turns out what you do is create a shit lasagna.
All right.
"We don't have typical toilets on board. Instead, we have a vacuum system that literally sucks your shit down a tube. Normally, there is water in the toilets, but when work is being done, the water is drained. During this time of maintenance, a shit lasagna is made. This is when no one listens and takes a shit in an empty toilet bowl and can't flush it.
Oh, God.
The next person comes in, lays toilet paper on top of the previous shit, shits on top of that.
What?
And so on and so forth until the shit mountain rises out of the bowl. Rinse and repeat for the three or four other toilets in the bathroom."
All right. But at some point, I don't know. Thank you for your service. Thank you for
your
service.
Yeah. Sure. But what's worse is that when the system comes back online and the water is reintroduced, so there's little room for that water, so it overflows onto the floor and gives it has all this fucking airflow, and so it creates an air bubble, and then when it's flushed, it shoots shit to the ceiling. So it's fun, man. It's hard out there. It's hard in war.
I actually was like, oh, wow, yeah, that's a great career. If you're a janitor, you don't have to go and fight. But then I'm like, that is the war, isn't it? Like the PTSD of the war, that somebody who had to be on shit duty during any amount of the massive amounts of wars the U.S. have had, that's the person I want to talk to. I know D-Day was really rough, but what about the guy who had to clean up all of that shit?
Oh, my God. Think about the Nazis that have to shit with all the kraut and all the fucking sausage. Those guys? Ugh.
And the meth. And they got that liquid meth craps coming through as well.
Oh, here we go. I have an interesting tidbit of London lore that I'm sure Henry will find amusing.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess I'll turn my ears off then.
During the late 17th century, there were two serial spankers in London. The first, Whipping Tom, was in London. These attacks happened in 1681. They happened in between Fleet Street, Strand, and Holborn. Altogether, these make a relatively large area ranging from the City of London, Westminster, and Central London, respectively. There's two accounts of his methodology. The first is that he would approach an unaccompanied woman and bend her over his knee, spanking her with a cane, then running off into the night.
Wait.
Slip it, slip it, slip it, slip. Here you go.
The second is much more sensational and absurd. He would seek out a lone woman, but he would go the extra mile to lift up her dress and spank her while yelling, "Spank ho! Spank ho!"
It's only because it's in a British accent that it makes it mildly charming, because all of this is horrible.
A two-cheek, rip, a rip, I smack from the bottom.
He would flee from the scene and vanish with speed and a finesse that was almost supernatural.
Didn't it take time for him to bend all these people over? Didn't someone be like, hey, what's going on over there? It doesn't.
I think at first, as a woman, maybe at the time period, you're used to maybe getting lifted up and maybe put in a cart or something. So you're like,
you said 1600s, didn't you?
1681, yeah.
All right.
There was vast public outcry as the police were very ineffective at patrolling the streets or apprehending the spanker. I suppose the silver lining is that the nature of these attacks wasn't lethal, but sadly little has changed with regards to the police proactivity. Because of this, many vigilantes picked up the slack, going out armed with various blunt objects and dressed in their wives' clothing, which is incredible. We got to do this as a movie. Us looking for a serial spanker dresses women. Sadly, this is where the details begin to dry up, as there's no surviving information about how the spankers were found.
The only one that could possibly get spanked out of all three of us is Marcus. He's the only one with a big old
juicy
tissue.
Bottom. Yeah, a juicy bottom. Juicy, just, but that doesn't mean buttocks. He's begging to be spanked, Marcus.
No, it does not. Nor does it mean if anyone with a juicy buttocks, technically, they like it to be left alone.
Oh, yes. Technically. Sometimes, though. Even I'm a small butt. I could use a little touch. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Now, there's no record of how they were captured, right? Because it's hard. They don't really know. They feel like that may be the reason why that it might have been even two separate people, which is why the MOs were so separate, right?
It seems fairly similar.
So an anonymously written book, wonderfully titled Whipping Tom Brought to Life and Exposed to View, was written and recounted these attacks. It might provide some form of closure for listeners who have found themselves invested, though it might be a good wild goose chase finding somewhere to read it. Just go away. Remember, when you are down in London town, sometimes you get spanked.
Oh my goodness. All right.
All right, and I got one more.
Kicked in the head.
Yeah, sometimes they do get kicked in the head. So I've been sitting on this for a month to see if I could come up with a rational explanation, but no dice. It's still creepy to me. After a late night tryst with my partner, I laid in bed wide awake trying to shake off the post-nut clarity and get back to sleep.
Fantastic.
Normally I just go to sleep, but it's fine. As I was laying there, I felt as I was being watched. So I opened my eyes and looked out of our bedroom door and could see two lanky shadow forms standing in the doorway. They're very tall. Probably close to 7 foot and slightly. There was one that was slightly tall, closer to 7 foot, and one that was slightly shorter. One that was right behind with extra long and thin limbs.
Ooh.
At first, I wrote it off as a weird shadow, but soon I realized I could see all the normal shadows I was used to behind them. So I sat up in bed and grabbed my glasses off the bedside table, fully expecting them to melt away. But instead, they just came even more sharply into focus. At this point, my heart was beating in my chest as I just watched them watching me. They were physically shapes, more like, they weren't physical shapes, more like techs in a play in their black bodysuits, just really just pitch black shadows against the dark, or maybe even more appropriately, like people standing behind a movie screen, like I said before. Interesting.
Like, except, you know what it reminds me of as well, Mr. Zabrowski? Kim Kardashian from the Met Gala.
Nice. Whoa. Got her.
Yeah.
Taking her down a peg.
I don't think that's possible.
At this point, they started moving into my room in two distinct shapes. Now, we have a very cramped room where I have damn near turned sideways to move easily, but they seemed to glide across with ease and a steady pace. They quickly made it to my side of the bed and got close enough that I could touch them, which is exactly what I do very quickly. I snatch at its arm, but I got nothing but air. At this point, the hairs in the back of my neck were standing up harder than Holden at a mother and son dance.
Whoa.
So I fell back on old instinct and did what I always do in tense situations and cracked a dumb joke. I said, "Hey, y'all mind? I'm trying to get some sleep here." Now, in the wildest part of the whole encounter, they obliged and started to leave the room, and I watched them back out of the room same way that they came in, without ever turning their backs to me. And when they crossed the threshold of my room, they disappeared, and the intense unease I was feeling almost immediately lifted. After about 10 minutes or so, after my heartbeat returned to normal, I was finally able to return to sleep. I was in full control of my body and wide awake the entire time. And this hasn't happened before or since.
Okay.
So anybody's guess is what it is, please have at it.
All right. Let us know what you think. SideStoriesLPOTL@gmail.com. Thank you all so much for the wonderful emails. Also, I do want to make a public apology. I know we don't do that very often here. I was unable to make the stream this past week.
Yes.
Of course, thanks for all giving to our Patreon. I was having a bit of fun myself. I didn't realize that Holden was going to drink breast milk. People seem to enjoy it. So
the thing about him
happens.
Drinking it too was that he had it out, and Elowin was brought on camera. It was nice. I don't even know how Lexi allowed this to happen.
Yeah.
But the thing was is that I don't know how to really describe it. Because I think that you saw it on the stream, you think it was a bit.
I saw some stills that people had taken and but looked like he was quite pleased.
But the thing was, I know this man. Yeah. I know Colton for almost 20 years.
Yep.
The look of pleasure that came across his face when he drank it made my blood go cold. Like he drank it and he was like, "That's the most delicious thing I've ever had." And then he kept going back, like trying to get the very last droplets into his mouth. And I'm like, I just feel like we crossed a stream for him. Like we crossed a line that was never supposed to be crossed. And now I feel like Elowin's going to starve to death.
Yeah, because your father is drinking.
Drinking all the milk.
All the breast milk.
But
in
now
the house.
Key, the key really is to get it straight from the tap.
Yeah. Well, the key is to feed your daughter. Most of it. But anyway, so there you go. Thanks to everyone who supported the stream. And thanks everyone, obviously, for giving to our Patreon. Did not know that breast milk was going to be involved. But you know what? You never know what's going to happen. And it's very sweet. I've had a taste of a teat.
Kissel.
That had the milk and all that stuff happening.
Yeah, it's good. So. Kissel also, did you know? Yeah, Bob Dole just straight up said, "I'm sorry that we lost Norm Macdonald." It's like he just put out a comment saying,
"Bob Dole?
I was always fun to play and laugh with Norm Macdonald."
Why is Bob Dole having
God.
I don't want anyone to die. It just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make any human sense that Norm dies before Bob Dole. Bob is it doesn't make sense. And that's why, again,
Bob Dole has only one working hand and one working eye and
he
five brain cells.
He survived an entire war, and all Norm did was make people laugh, and he deserves to be here. The world would be a better place if he was.
Guys, anyway. What a fun way to end this. We are, we're going back on tour next week. We got dates. We got OKC, I believe. We got Sacktown. We got Salt Lake City. We got a couple of tickets left in all these locations.
Mm-hmm,
go out there. Purchase these tickets. Come on out there. We're just trying to make you laugh.
We'll make you laugh. All
just
right,
trying to make you laugh. Or to pre-order our comic book for
Soul
October
Plumbers.
5th. Soul Plumbers.
Dude.
On DC. I've had several people ask me, how do you get it overseas? And I'm trying to find out a better answer for it. But right now they're saying one answer is sign up for the DC online subscription service that they have. Then you can do
I'm
it,
sure
but
you'll
I'm going
to
try
to
find
something. Yeah,
we'll have to figure that out.
Yeah, it is so funny. Like, even with, like, merch and stuff, it's like we live in this global economy and everyone's like, I can't get it. It's like, anyway, yes, and Soul Plumbers, Malakas and Henry have written a fantastic tale that you guys will love, and the animation is so freaking cool.
John McCrae is very talented.
John McCrae is awesome. Yep. So thanks for supporting everything we do here on the Last Podcast Network. And I want to also thank, special shout out to everyone who gave to the Last Prisoner Project. I want to thank Ed Larson from Brighter Side for putting on the whole thing, and Fernando and Travis Morningstar for working so hard to make sure that we could do that Twitch stream. The great mugshot roast benefiting the Last Prisoner Project. I think we made over $7,000.
Yeah, $7,500, man. It was really, really great. And it just goes towards, let's get these people out of jail. And it's nice to see Eddie using his evil for the power of good.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Send some love to Eddie as well.
Absolutely.
It's a tough time out there for everyone.
And here's a genuine, because today's been so sad, there was such sad shit today. A genuine live, laugh, love while you can.
Wow.
Right, you got a triple L while you can.
Yes,
because
you do.
We only got one way around. We only got one time on this fucking planet Earth before we take a dirt nap or we go to some fucking dimension. But wherever we go,
whatever.
We ain't here no
Either
more.
Way, ain't here. Yep, that's all that
it
matters.
It ain't here. So you just fucking get out there, man. Live your life. Buy something fun this weekend. Do something fun. Text somebody you haven't texted in a long time. Do that type of shit. This is like, I know that people are also concerned because we've got all the pandemic shit. What's going on? Double mask if you got to. Go out there, live your life. Get off the fucking internet. Say hello to somebody. Do something for yourself and for your family and experience being alive while you can.
Yes, I do think you forgot laughter in there, but that is just
no. Fun. Never laugh. Life
Never,
is serious.
No laughter. So no. Hang out with old
not
friends.
Not until you come to our live show. Do not laugh until you come to our live show.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's where it is. You have to buy a ticket to the live show in order to laugh.
To practice your laughs before you come to the live show. Well, thank you all so much for listening. Hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Magustalations.
Hail me.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.